As Lee mentioned, I'm going to do a sermon and song tonight. So hopefully it's not just me seeking to encourage you, but we can encourage each other together. So if you're in the back, move forward, please. And then there's silence. No, come on, guys, come on, move forward. I want us all to be up here close together. I know that gets you out of your comfort zone, but let's all move close together so we can sing together and honor and praise our God tonight. There we go. As was just read for us, Jesus asked Peter a question. He says, "Do you love me?" It's interesting, he asked him that three times. You know, he could have asked Peter, "Do you believe me?" He could have asked him, "Are you ready to confess me, Peter? Or will you obey me?" But he instead simply asked, "Do you love me?" That question is something that we all need to ponder, and a question that we all need to answer. Because in this question hangs all of who we are in Christ. Our very salvation is bound up in that question. Life or death, heaven or hell, depend on our ability to answer that simple question, "Do you love me?" It's not the idea of just loving this idea of Christ, but it is loving the very person of Jesus Christ. He is the God who came down to our level so that we might know him and so that we might love him. And if our answer is, "Yes, I do love Christ," then what I would say to you tonight is there are certain marks that would show in our very lives. Marks that show that we love Jesus Christ that would be known not only to us but to others. And so I want us to look at those marks that show that we love Jesus Christ. There are marks that we show that we are consumed by Christ. Because if we love a person, we like to think about them. We don't need to be reminded about them. We don't forget their name. We don't forget their character. We don't forget their likes or dislikes. We know all of those things. And we think about them many times during the day. I think about a couple maybe that's dating. And, you know, you can just sort of see it. They love thinking about each other during the day. And it's almost like if you're standing beside one of them, you know, and they sort of just phase off a little bit, and they start to get this smile on their face, and they're like, and you go, you're thinking about them, aren't you? You're like, yeah, yeah. We're just consumed with the thoughts of that other person. They bring us joy. The same is true for those who love Christ. That Christ dwells in our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 17, Paul is praying this prayer to the Ephesians. And he says in verse 16, he's praying that the strength with power that would come through his spirit in the inner man. In verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We don't even have time to begin to look at all of that, of what that verse means, but when we love Christ, We dwell on him. We think about him. We don't need to be reminded that we have a crucified Savior. The psalmist would write in Psalm 63 and verse 6, "When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches." Not just during the day, but the psalmist says, "Man, when I am asleep or when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking about you." That to love God is to have our minds filled with things of God, to become saturated with him. I think about a piece of cloth or a sponge, and you put it in water, and you pull it up. what happens? It's just like dripping water. Why? Because it's saturated with the water. When we love God, are we that way? Are we saturated with Him? In Psalm 119 and verse 48, the psalmist there says, "My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on thy words." Sort of, if you put it into the everyday language, this person is saying, I want the night shift so that I can meditate on God. Those calm times of when the bustle of everybody else is sleeping, those times when we can focus on who God is and meditate on His words. If we love a person, we like to hear about them. We find pleasure in listening to those who are speaking of them. We give attention to those other people as they speak about them. Think about maybe a mother and a father, and they're passing by and they hear somebody speaking about one of their children. What are they going to do? They're sort of going to stop, aren't they? And they're going to listen. They want to hear about what someone else is saying about their children. Now, the difference would be if a stranger's coming by, he's just going to keep on going. He's not going to stop because he doesn't know. But there's that relationship there between the parent and the child. And that person wants to know, wants to hear what others say. The true Christian delights to hear something about his master. He's drawn to those that would talk of Christ and soaks up what they say about him. In Psalm 145, in verse 5 beginning, there it says, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness." The idea of the psalmist, I want to meditate on the words. Other people are going to speak about you, Lord, and I want to be there. I want to hear about you. If we love a person, we like to read about them. I want you to think maybe about a young man who's in the armed forces and he's called away. Maybe he writes letters or he writes emails back to his mom. Or maybe a couple is having to do a little bit of long-distance relationship for a period of time, and they write love letters back and forth to each other. To just the general person, those letters don't mean much. The stranger on the street's not going to take time to go read what some son has written to his mother, or to what two lovers have written to each other. But to that mother, or to those lovers, those who love that writer see those words, see those letters as no one else can. To them, those letters are a treasure. And they don't read them just once. They read them over and over again. Because there's something, there's the connection there. The desire to hear what the other person has to say. The true Christian delights to read the words of God. It's not a wearisome task. In Psalm 119, there in verse 16, it says, "I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word." Verse 24, "Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." Think about things that delight us. My girls, just yesterday, we went and got ice cream, and that was a delight to them. Well, the writer here is saying, your words are a delight to me. I look forward to that. They are my counselors. When I need direction, when I need help, it is your words that give that to me. That we read not just because we have to read, but that we read because we find strength and comfort in the help to overcome the things in life. As we talked about this morning, when we are in the depths of despair, it's God's word that can help us. Psalm 94 and verse 19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. I want to ask you, do you see the scriptures as God's love letters to you? Because they are. That is your loving God wanting to reach out to you and talk to you. Do we find in his words the very thing that fills our soul? In John chapter 6, beginning there in verse 35, notice how Jesus describes himself. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you drop down to verse 39, it says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus says, I am your source of spiritual nourishment. I'm the place where you go to when you are thirsting, when your soul is craving something. That's me. That's what you long for. Are these types of marks within us as we love our God? I want us to sing two songs as we think about these ideas of loving God. The first one is, Lord, Take Control. We're going to sing this through twice. The first time sing in unison, the second time in parts. Let's all sing together.
Oh, soul, my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you, take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you, take control.
Next song is Ancient Words. So as we've said, okay, Lord, I want you to take control. Here's my life. Here's my everything. I want to give it to you. Think about ancient words. The words of his word and how precious they are to us.
And oh, soul, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own horn. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith handed down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own horn. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words.
Marks that show us that we are consumed by God, but marks that show us that we are now controlled by Christ. If we love a person, we like to please them. We're glad to ask their opinions. We're glad to act upon their advice. And we do things that they enjoy or they approve of. There's the phrase, the crazy things we do for love. And just think about all of the crazy things that people have done through the years for love. You know, I've probably used this example before, but guys, what kind of things have you done for your girlfriend or for your spouse that you would never have done if it was just you? Say, well, maybe I went to all those chick flicks. Well, we do that because we love our spouse, or we love our girlfriend. In our love for God and love for Christ, we seek to please Him. He says in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Notice he doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, then you will love me. But it's the love that is our motivation. That it is not because, well, I have to do this out of ritual, I have to do this out of duty that I obey, but it is a desire to please, a desire to show our love unto God. That the one who loves Christ doesn't murmur at Christ's request, doesn't say, well, Lord, that's just too strict, or why do I have to do this? To him, the commandments of Christ are not burdensome, but they are light. In Colossians 1 and verse 10, Paul would there write, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. Paul says, you do these things to be pleasing to him. Because you want to show your love unto God, we obey. And his commandments are not burdensome. If we love a person, we like their friends. We hold their friends even in a favorable light, maybe even before we've ever met them, because they're tied to the one we love. When we meet them, we don't feel maybe so much like strangers because there's that common tie that we have, a common love for that one person. Because of our love for Christ, we are joined together in fellowship with each other. We talked about this last week. that because we are members of the same body, because we have that vertical relationship with our God, then we by that very nature, we have a relationship with each other. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Our relationship with Christ draws us together so that we have a common love together. As I said last week, think of all of the different backgrounds that we have here, the different personalities that we have, and yet we're brought here together. Wherever else on this earth would you find that kind of connection? You won't. But it's the love of Christ that brings us together. It's the love of Christ that binds us together. Because when we love Christ, then we love each other because of that love. In chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8, there it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So we, because we love Him, we put our needs second. We put the needs of others before us. We say, "What can I do to help? How can I be of service to you?" All because we love Jesus Christ. If we love a person, we tell others about them. We don't keep it to ourselves. We find that person so interesting, so pleasurable to be around, that we desire for others to share in that joy. Think about a couple that's dating. And maybe the girl is talking with her friends and she's, "Oh, you'll never guess what he did for me today. He brought me flowers, he did this or he did that." She's sharing what her boyfriend has done. Why? Because she wants others to experience even just a small inkling of what she's enjoying. The one who loves Christ delights to tell others about Him. That love is so strong, it bubbles up. It's like, "I can't keep it inside. I want to just tell whoever I can about Jesus." Quickly notice just a few of these verses here. In Psalm 9 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." Psalm 22 and verse 22, "I will tell of your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you." And Psalm 66 and verse 16, "Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what He has done for my soul." It is the idea that He says, "Look, everybody, just come around. I want to tell you what God has done for me." That there is that desire to tell others. That we speak of Him in conversations, just like we would our favorite football team. Just like we would talking about the Panthers or whatever shopping trends there are. The things that we talk about in just everyday things with other people. Does Christ come into those conversations? You see, if we love Him, it will. It'll be just a natural progression. "Hey, I want to tell you about my Savior." I want us to sing next, "A Common Love." Because that's what we have together. We are bound by the love of Jesus Christ. So let's sing together, "A Common Love."
Do mi sol, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to.
greatest command, but Lee led it so well, we'll change it up a little bit. If you've got your psalm books, get them out and turn to number 711. Number 711. Blessed be the tie that binds. We'll sing the first, third, and fourth verses of this song.
Blessed be the
separated and we come back together, it's like we never miss a beat because of that love that God has that binds us together. Well, the third thing I want us to see, do we have the marks that show that we are complete in Christ? If we love a person, we like to talk with them, we tell them our thoughts. We pour out our hearts to them. We don't have any difficulty finding something to talk about. I think again about a couple that's dating. Especially maybe the teenagers who are in that puppy love stage. And wow, they just seem to talk all night long. And you say, what in the world did you all talk about? Oh, well, we just talk about this and this and this. And then they get up in the next morning and maybe they see each other at school and they're talking again. I mean, they just have stuff to talk about. Do we have that with Christ? That every day we have something to tell him. And it's like that we're if we don't tell him, we don't find that happiness. That we're just saying, Lord, I've got to tell you this. That this person who loves Christ, that they speak in prayer throughout all the day. And they tell Christ their wants, their desires, their problems, and their cares. That we ask for counsel in difficult times. We ask for comfort when we are just down and out. We say, Christ, help me. Why? Because he's the one who came to experience life. And he knows everything that we've ever gone through. Think about that. There is never a time when you can say, well, Lord, you just don't know what it's like. He says, I know. I've been there. And we can tell him everything. Psalm 5 and verses 1 through 3. Says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. I love that the psalmist there says, I order my prayer. That he wants it to, he says, I want to put this just right to you. Because you matter to me so much. It's not just a flippant thing. And certainly that's not to say that there are times where we just need to maybe say those arrow prayers. That we're in a situation and we just shoot that arrow prayer off to God. But there are those other times where we order what we say because we want him to hear it. We want to give him the very best. Are we so in love with Christ that we talk with him throughout the day? If we love a person, we like to always be with them. We can think about them, we can hear about them, we can read about them, and we can occasionally talk to that person we love. And all of those things are good. But there's still something missing. All of those things don't satisfy us completely. We long to be in their presence. We want to share in their life. And the one who loves Christ longs to be with him. In John chapter 14 and verse 1 beginning, there Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's knowing that his time is nearing the end, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." God says, I want you with me. We might look at ourselves, we might look at the way that we've acted this week and say, God, how in the world do you want me? I've made a mess of things this week. God says, I want you because I love you. Because I have a love that surpasses anything that you could ever even imagine. A love that causes me to give my very son for you. It's joyful to hear of God, but don't you want to be with him? We live right now by our eyes of faith, but I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go see God in person. That's what it's all about. That's what we long for. That's what I hope that we can say, I love Christ that much. I've mentioned this quote to you before, but I think it's apropos for now. John Piper, in his book, God is the Gospel, says this: the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all the friends you ever had on earth, with all the food you ever liked, and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? I mean, look at all the picture that he paints. I mean, there's no tears, there's no problems, there's no nothing. But would you be satisfied if Christ wasn't there? I hope all of us can say, no. My Savior has to be there because I love him so much. Let's sing together, Nearer, Still Nearer, because that's what we're, as we sing the song, that's what we're asking. God, I want to be nearer to you. Draw me closer to you. We'll sing the first and fourth verses of this song. about being nearer to our God. I want us to end on dwelling upon the promises that God has given us. Because He is the one who has given it all. He is the one who has said, "Here is my love for you. And I promise all of these things." And God never gives up. He never lets go. He never fails on His word. So let's sing this to encourage each other and to praise our God.
No. Oh, Father, draw me close to You. Come and my spirit is renewed. And yes, I know You're here for You. I'm here for You have promised, and I believe.
Then I will pray.
In the verses there that Peter was grieved that third time because Jesus said, "Do you love me?" He says, "Go tend my sheep then, Peter." Do you love Jesus? If you do, then it's about living your life for Him. How much do you love Him? Does He bubble up inside you? Do you just can't wait to talk with Him in the morning as you wake up? That's the kind of Savior we have. A Savior who wants to talk to you. Do you need that Savior tonight? He's calling to all of us. He says, "I want to draw you closer. I want you to be near to me." If you're not a child of God, this is an opportunity He gives to you. Maybe you just need prayers tonight of us as saints to help you on your journey. Whatever the case may be, won't you come as together we stand and sing?